always wrong with Kriyas Yamsuf. What's wrong with Kriyas Yamsuf? So it's an interesting thing. And the Pasuk says, they mean Hashem and Moshe Abba. So the Rambam says that, the Ramban, they all say the same thing. They say it means as follows, that even Nisan that occurred, even the Nisan that occurred in Mitzrayim, it's not enough to fully convince an individual. Something lacking. A Nes is not enough. Nisan are not enough. Why? Because Nisan could be the... It's probable. If what were the Nisan? That Moshe Rabbeinu knew exactly when it was going to occur. He told Paro it was going to occur at this time. And then they happened exactly at this time, exactly when Paro Yisrael needed to get out, the Yom Tov split, and the morning came. All these different events. But the Rambam explains that no matter what, a Nes always leaves a person unsatisfied intellectually as to whether it's really correct or not. He says, somehow or other, there's some part of him that keeps thinking it over. Well, maybe it could have happened. Maybe the cataclysmic upheaval and it just happened to be at this time. He will even put his life on the line. But he's not fully satisfied. So the Amin of Hashem and Moshe Abdel Menteh believed enough to follow Moshe Rabbeinu out of Mitzrayim. But intellectually they weren't satisfied. What was the event that satisfied intellectually? Was only when they heard the voice produced by God that conveyed ideas, that conveyed statements and ideas of heart. Then they were convinced. And then there was then their mind they didn't have any afterthoughts, as the Rambam puts it. And that is the only event. As a matter of fact, that's why the Rambam says that why is this so? Because God wants to reach Kol Yisrael only through something that is conclusive and intellectually satisfying to the human mind. So that's the way God wants to reach Kol Yisrael, not through any other means. As a matter of fact, that's the parasha of Navi Shekhar. What does Navi Shekhar say? Navi Shekhar says, when Navi arises, and he tells you to deviate from the Torah, and he gives you miracles, and the miracles happen, you shouldn't listen to that Navi. Why? Because God says, I am testing you to see if you truly love God, the Lord your God, with the chol avachem and chol nafshechem, or not. That's what the pasuk says. What does this mean? It means God will allow another to come and produce miracles, and we still aren't moved. Why? What does it mean? What kind of a test is this? The answer is that God taught us to follow him through his chachma. And the test is, are you going to get caught up in primitive emotions because certain things occurred and you're going to start following these type of things? That's the test. The test is to see if you follow chachma. A person who's convinced of the veracity of Torah because of chachma is not moved by any kind of events or miracles. It doesn't play any role. Whether they're miracles in his favor, as I mentioned before, is that your question? Or whether miracles that even if he should say that I'll prove to you the Torah is wrong, and if the Torah is wrong, then this and this should occur. And it occurs exactly the way he says. It doesn't bother us. We simply do not care, we're not concerned about it, it doesn't mean a thing to us. Because we know the Torah is true. We know the Torah is true from Maamar HaSinai. That is the proof, and there's nothing else. Nothing else besides that. Now, there's one more point I want to mention, and that is, a person will say, okay, Maamar HaSinai is intellectually satisfying, we live by this, history, everything's fine and wonderful. But is there any way we can get closer, a more intimate kind of knowledge that Torah is true? Or is this as close as we can get? I mean, of course we get it, we're satisfied. But a person would like, it's true even though a person will put his life on the line and take a serious operation, but he likes it, the practical thing, he's right, he has to do it. But we'd like to think in religion, in Yahadis, that we should be able to have more of a certainty than that. Okay? And my answer is that there is more of a certainty. There is a greater certainty. The greater certainty is as follows. You see, when a person, what convinces a person? For instance, a person studies nature. What convinces him that there really are ideas to pursue in nature? He finds a contradiction in nature. He says, how is this possible? What does he mean, how is it possible? He means there has to be a solution. Nature can't be at odds with itself. So there must be a solution here. Where does he get this belief from? He gets this belief from the fact that he knows that through study he sees that things unravel. He thought there was a contradiction yesterday, but then he saw, no, it's a greater idea. And then science starts studying more and more, and they bring more phenomena online. And they see that a bigger picture starts emerging. That's how science works. That's why the next contradiction, they don't say that physics is in contradiction with itself. They say there must be a greater idea here that we're missing. If they didn't believe in that, they could never go further. Okay? That's why Albert Einstein, as a matter of fact, proves that every scientist has to have a belief in God. Just because if you only believe in the physical phenomena, and as soon as they had a contradiction, you couldn't go any further. Maybe it's a contradiction. So why do you go further? You say, there must be a solution. What does it mean? It means there's something behind these physical phenomena that will not allow them to collide. You see? That something is God. Because you have to have that belief. Otherwise, you can't be a scientist. It's an interesting idea. So the concept that there is something behind the scenes, you see, is something that a person gains from studying, from knowledge you gain. Now, that's why a physicist is convinced that physics is true. He knows it's true because he studied it and sees questions, answers, he sees the whole system. The same thing is true of Torah. A person who is a scholar, who knows, who studied Torah, knows that when you have a question in Torah, you think about it, you say, well, it's like a contradiction. But then you look into it, and you see, one second, there's a broader spectrum. And new things emerge. You start, your horizons broaden, and you see how theories fit in, and the whole picture emerges. And after you get finished with that picture, you see only scratching the surface. There's still more problems. So you can see the depth of Torah from the study of Torah. Now, just like you had in the past generation, you had the greatest minds in the world. I mean, as you know, Niels Bohr, Albert Einstein, well, from our people, I mean, they changed the world. The psychology, Sigmund Freud, and the other one. It's changed the world of psychology, the world of physics. We, Baruch Hashem, I mean, Jews have good minds. Now, Jews didn't just have good minds in the past century. But Jews have had good minds for centuries and centuries. The Rambam, the Rabbeinu Tam, these people were in science. I mean, they would have made breakthroughs just like the Jews that were away from Torah made breakthroughs in science. But at that time, all our energies, our intellectual energies, were directed towards Torah. Now, these people, the greatest minds, when they study Torah, and they study Torah only with Chachma, they find, after they spend a lifetime of study, that they just scratch the surface of the Chachma of Torah. Just like a scientist. Like Einstein, at the end of his life, said he just begins to see how crude his formulations are with regard to the eternal Chachma that's behind the whole universe. So a Chacham sees how small he is. That's the nature of things. Because the more you study, the more your life, that it's a person's life's work, and he sees how far he is from really perceiving what there is. He can sense there's something far deeper out there. And the same thing is true with Torah. A man like Rav Chaim Brisker, a mind like Rav Chaim Brisker, giant intellect. I mean, Shonen goes without saying, Achronim, great Achronim, they ponder, they spend their lives in Torah, in Chachmas of Torah. And it's Chachma. There is no method of learning Torah other than pure Chachma. It's abstract Chachma. So when they get, and when they sense the exact same thing in Torah, that when they study Torah, they see, they solve one dilemma, and they see there's something else. They can sense the endless depth of Torah. When a person sees that, he knows that this can't be a man-made system. Because a man-made system could never be better than the man that invented it. And the system with the greatest mind could spend an entire life and only scratch the surface. It's obvious to anyone that has that point of view, that has seen such a thing, it's obvious to such a person that this Chachma can only be Chachma Hashem. Can never be made by a human being. I mean, the greatest human mind just scratches the surface of it, just like a person, just like an Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein always says, he says, when a person studies science, every scientist, he says, becomes aware that there's a spirit in the universe that is so far deeper than we, with our crude methods of thinking, can grasp. He says, but you're aware of that spirit. You can be aware of the depth of the Chachma of physics. The same thing is true of God's Chachma and Torah. So a person who studies Torah and sees firsthand the depth of the system, he is convinced from the system itself he can see Chachma Hashem. That is the most intimate knowledge of the truth of Torah. That's even beyond Sinai. Sinai was only a first step. Sinai was Nase V'Nishma. We've seen enough to know that it's true, and we know we have to follow, like I mentioned before, but V'Nishma, what does V'Nishma mean? Now we're going to learn Torah. Now we'll learn Torah. And once you learn Torah, then you have the first-hand, personal experience of seeing God's Chokmah. But that you can only do if a person truly involves himself in the study of Torah. But that's a mitzvah on everyone to do it. I mean, it's a mitzvah that's open for everyone to try it. See, a person sits and learns Torah, in a few years of learning Torah, he'll see what the Chokmah of Torah is. But the truth of the matter is, in the final analysis, there is a very close, intimate kind of knowledge that Torah is true, even beyond Sinai. And that is first-hand knowledge of Torah, that anyone can engage in. And Maamar Har Sinai was only meant to be a rational proof, which is external, in the sense that it's from an external event, but is really meant to drive you for the internal proof, which is from Torah itself, from the study of Torah itself. There a person can see, just like Davidoff says, when you see Ereshem Mecha, Maiseh Barsecha, when I see the heavens, I can see God's handiwork. The same thing you see, God's handiwork in the Chachma Satara, the endless Chachma Satara. The person puts his mind to it, and he studies Torah. So the truth of the matter is, the ultimate knowledge of Torah starts with Sinai, but the ultimate knowledge is personal knowledge through the Ethiopia. That's the ultimate.
Okay, that's the focus.